It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmell.
Welcome to the Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, or hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. Feel free to give us a call or send your message in, and we'll talk about it. And our question of the day is, if you are conducting a draft of current Giants players, who would you draft after Eli Manning is off the board? Now, I'm assuming you're picking Eli first. Now, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're picking Ramses Barden first in your draft. Well, that's fine. Pick him second. Eli's getting picked first. Those are the rules. So, who after Eli would you pick? Well, before I get to your calls, we already got two people in the line. We'll get to you in a second. Let's go through it. First of all, it's pretty obvious to me that Eli is the first guy to go. That's number one. He's your quarterback, two-time Super Bowl champion, center of everything you do on offense. Eli's the man. Now, where do you go after Eli Manning? And to me, there's a few options. First, you have the two wide receivers, Hakeem Nicks and Victor Cruz. Nicks' injuries, big outside wide receiver. You like him, but you worry about him staying healthy. Victor Cruz, only done it for 2 years. Can he sustain that success? Not the biggest guy. Has success outside, but also plays the slot a lot. Is that a guy you want to pick second? Or do you say, you know what? I have so much confidence in this guy's promise, I'm going to take a guy like David Wilson first. Where you say, this guy is so explosive, he's a game changer at running back, I'm going to take him. I think it's a bit of a stretch, but I'll throw it out there as a possibility. Really, to me, there's nowhere else on offense that really would qualify. No one on the offensive line is quite good enough. That includes Will Beatty, who I guess would probably be your first offensive lineman off the board, I would imagine, in that scenario. Go to the defensive side of the ball. And this is where I think my answer is going to fall. Even though Jason Pierre-Paul underwent back surgery about a month ago now, to me, he's the second best and most valuable player on this team. Just look at NFL drafts. After the quarterback gets taken, what usually gets taken after that? Either a left tackle or a defensive end that rushes the passer. A top cornerback, too. So to me, Jason Pierre-Paul, the most disruptive player in the Giants' defense, he, to me, would be the guy I would take after Eli Manning goes off the board. He can be a difference maker. He can be a sack machine when he's healthy. And I think he's going to be back, and I think he's going to be okay. I know back surgeries are tricky. You never like them. But I think Jason Pierre-Paul will resemble his old self this year. That's my gut feeling. Elsewhere, I mean, I guess the next defensive player you would probably take would probably be Antrell Roll, I guess, on the defense. Play corner, play safety, very versatile, good leader. You could go there. Unless you like Prince. And Prince had a big step up year last year. He played extremely well. So I guess Prince is also a possibility to go with. I like both. But I think you got to go JPP. But I'll tell you what, Prince is higher on that list than you might think, considering his promise and his youth and how well he played in year number two. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Of course, we don't have to do the question. If you want to talk about anything else with the Giants current like that, please feel free. Call in. We'll talk about it. Let's start with Gerson out in California. Gerson, what's going on, pal?
Hey, good morning. I missed yesterday's show, so I have to say something about that list.
Go ahead.
I wanted to give you my list, and mine goes based on system, defense, all that good stuff.
And by the way, folks, just so you know, yesterday our question of the day was who is your top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL? I had Eli Manning 5th, right in front of Ben Roethlisberger at number 6, with Rodgers, Brady, Breeze, and Peyton ahead of them. Gerson, what's yours?
Oh, I did hear it. I listened to the podcast no matter what. I missed it in the morning, but I listened to it while I go to the gym. But first one, Rodgers, just because he's really had a defense. So I'll go ahead first over Brady. Brady, more system than anything, but he does come through. But he's also had some good defenses throw those Super Bowl runs as well.
Sure, that's fair.
Third, I'll take Peyton, just because you can't replace what he can do in the field. He at times didn't have, that'll be third. Eli will be fourth. And I'm being a little biased on that one, of course. But he comes through when it comes down to the playoffs. I think that's when it counts the most.
Okay.
Yes, why not? And plus the system, no matter what, he's never going to have good stats because the system, he has to throw interceptions no matter what. And most of his interceptions have been through tip passes as well.
Fair enough.
After that, I'll take Breeze. With him, I think it's a little bit more of a system as well.
Okay.
Packaging system, Then I'll take Ben. Durability, not too well, but he's hard. Plus, he's had number one defense for the past, number one to three?
Mm-hmm.
Top one or three defense his whole career.
That's fair.
After that, I'll take Flacco. Same thing, defense. He's had top three. And I hate this one, but I have to. Romo. I'll put him right after Flacco.
What do you, Matt Ryan?
Right after him.
Okay.
He chokes just as much as Romo does.
Boy, Matt Ryan.
But Romo is just another beast. He's just had bad luck with either his receivers not coming through for him or the defense. And then 10th, I'll take Luck just because he did with the team, turning them around. The team was rebuilding when he came in. No line, no running game. And he was actually throwing from the pocket and throwing deep ball. RG3, Russell Wilson, system. If they go straight to the pocket, I don't think they'll do what they did.
Sounds good, Gerson.
And that's what I wanted to say about that.
All right, Gerson, sounds good, pal.
I always think about my list.
No, you know what? Our lists are very similar. I think you're right on the money. I think you might have Matt Ryan a little bit lower than I would, but I think you did a pretty good job with that. I appreciate the call, Gerson. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you.
Have a good one. I like the fact he has Romo a little bit higher because I think he gets underrated a little bit. But has Matt Ryan, has he really choked that much? I don't know. I don't know if that's fair. He's a young quarterback. What, has he been in the league 4 years? You're calling him a choker after 4 seasons? And remember, Eli, after 3 seasons, people wanted to run him out of town. Run him out of town. In fact, in his 4th season in 2007, I have my math right, people wanted to get rid of him after his 5-interception game against the Vikings. Won a Super Bowl that year, by the way. Just saying. So, be careful. 201-939-4513. Shakes is down in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
What's going on, man? First, let me holler at you about that Ryan thing. It's not that he chokes a lot. It's that, yes, he is young, but then he came in the same year Flacco did, and Flacco been in the championship mostly every year, and he won the championship last year. So you can't really excuse Ryan on that. And you can't really excuse Ryan on not having no weapons because he has weapons since he's been there. So with the weapons and everything, he should be better. That's why he is low on the list. That's why, to me, he's on number 9. I just wanted to address that.
All right, no problem. What else you got, Chicks?
All right, now, the whole Romo thing, because when I got off, you were saying that I poop-pooped on Romo. Nah, I'm not. I'm not poo-pooping on Romo just because he's a rival and my father's a Cowboy fan and I got to hear his mouth every day. No, it's not that. It's not that at all. It's because that he don't win when he needs to win. That's the thing. That's the thing about Romo. Romo can put up stats, and he can pull a horseshoe out his butt. You know what I mean? Because some of the plays that he makes, especially early in his career, were lucky. And if without T.O., he wouldn't have done half the things he done. So Romo is not on my top 10 list. I'm sorry. Now, the things I wanted to address yesterday that I didn't get to, first off, my running back tanners was number 2 and 3, so I was happy about that. That I really did like Dave Megan and Rodney Hatton.
Right.
Now, my issue with you was that you kind of said Tiki was hands down the best, and I don't know about that because I kind of like the Rodney Hampton years. I mean, he carried us.
The
when
problem
we were on our deck.
Yeah, I hear you, Shakes. The problem is that Hampton didn't do it for long enough. He had a great run, you know, when he was healthy. If you take his 4 best years and compare him to Tiki's 4 best years, I think you have an argument. The problem is that Tiki did it for about 8 or 9 years, and Rodney just did it for 4 or 5. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and I'm not saying that Hampton is better than Tiki. I'm just saying you can't say hands down. It is an argument. And I'm saying, like, Tiki, yes, he is the best running back we ever had because he was the total package. He did everything for us. He can block. He can catch. He can run. And the reason why that Giants fans don't really like him, like you said the other day, with the bonehead things he said, and he gave up on us on his last year. He was still pretty healthy. He didn't blow up in his career in the TV like he wanted to. And he downplayed Eli since Eli came. So I was really happy when we won the Super Bowl and Eli was, like, kind of toting in his face, like, yeah, he had to do the interview. Like, yeah, I won the Super Bowl. You should have stayed one more year. So, and running the ball. What people don't realize in that 08 team with the Earth, Wind, and Fire, reason why the running decline when Plex shot himself is because Plex was such an excellent blocker. Y'all don't really remember that, but Plex was an excellent blocker, and so was Tuma. So with that beast line and Plex and Tuma blocking, they had holes for years.
Remember, Burris was an excellent blocker when he wanted to block. There were a lot of times too where Burris just didn't want to be bothered with that too.
And with them long arms, he was just pushing people out the way, though. And every time I look, and especially in them long runs, it was Plex blocking people out of the way.
No,
so
I won't argue that.
That was one. And this year, I think we're going to get the run game back going because of Pugh. I think Pugh's going to start. And I think because when I looked at his little stats and his pros and cons from his college, his scouting report, they said that when he came, they wasn't a good rushing team. Before he came, excuse me. When he came, they became a great rushing team. So it looks like he makes an impact in rushing. And last thing I'm going to say is I'm kind of getting a little high on Hursley. If for some odd reason, he's reminded me of Mike Barrow.
Well, I'm not sure you can put him in Mike Barrow's class yet. I want to see him do something on the field before we start comparing it to Mike Barrow. If you want to say he's reminding you of Chase Blackburn a little bit, off the field stuff and, you know, being a good leader and being smart, I'll buy that. But I can't call Michael Barrow until he shows it on the field. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Just when I watch him, the way he plays is the same way I've seen how Mike Barrow plays. He plays the pass real good. So, yeah, I'm high on Herzlick. So I want, you know, hope him, Curry, Connor, I hope the whole court just come through for me because, you know, I love my linebacker. But all right, man, I'll talk to you after the weekend.
Have a good weekend, Shakes. Appreciate it.
All right, man.
201-939-4513. Since your name, really, it's Dallas down in Texas. What's going on, Dallas?
Hey, what's going on?
Good morning.
Doing?
I'm doing great, man.
Good morning. Yeah, I get it all the time. Like, how is your name Dallas and you a Giants fan down here in Texas?
Well, now here's my question. Do you actually live in Dallas or do you live in a different part of Texas?
No, I live in West Texas. I live in Odessa, Texas, where Roy Williams is.
So it's Dallas in Odessa. I got it. What's up, Dallas?
I had a question about Mark Hirschlick. Have you seen, I guess, around the conference, has he gained any more weight, or is he still about the same size as he was last year?
Honestly, I didn't notice any significant weight gain. I think physically, Hirschlick looks about the same as he has the last year or so.
Okay, I urge you, because I know a lot of people are getting high on Mark Hirschlick, but I kind of hope Dan does kind of take his spot until he gets a little more size. I have a friend who's a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan down here, and he always rubs into my face when we lost to them this year. Well, isn't that the game where Chase Blackburn got hurt and Mark Hirschlick took his spot?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Isn't that the game where Chase Blackburn got hurt, I think a hamstring or something? I think Mark Hirschlick came in, and Pittsburgh had their third running back in. Well, if you go back and watch that film, you should see how Mark Hirschlick is in the right spot to make those tackles, but he's just getting pushed 5 yards back when he's meeting that running back in the hole.
No, Dallas, you're exactly right. And that's why all these people that are getting excited about Hirschlick, and it's great he's being a leader, he knows the playbook, and is taking control of the defensive huddle, that's great. But I got to see him physically do it on the field before I jump on board.
Yeah, and I don't think he has the size for a linebacker, you know, to stop running backs in the hole like that. You know, I mean, I could see him getting run over by DeMarco Murray or the running back in Washington, or, you know, I think Shady McCoy is going to, you know, run him over too until he gets some more size on him. So I think, you know, we're going to need Connor in there, or, you know, I don't know how big Curry is, but, you know, we're going to need somebody with size in order to stop that run, because he was in the right spots, but he was just getting pushed 5 yards back before, you know, anybody else would come and hit him. I just don't think he has the physical size to be a great linebacker for us.
You know, just looking at them physically, I was actually going to say, I think Hirschlick is probably actually a little bit bigger than Dan Connor, believe it or not. And then I looked at their weight online, and I was right. Connor's official weight is a 241. Hirschlick is a 246. Now, granted, a lot of times guys are stronger or weaker than what that number might indicate. So that's only a way to, you know, get a very simple basis of which to judge opinions. But if you ask me who's better against the run, Hirschlick or Dan Connor, I'd probably say Dan Connor just because he's done it in the league for longer.
Have you seen Dan Connor getting pushed back? I really haven't looked at any. You know, I try not to look at the Cowboys since I'm in Cowboys country. I have to hear about it all the time. But have you seen him getting pushed back or anything when he meets a runner in the hole?
Well, you know what, Dan Connor, and I've watched, obviously being here, I've watched a bunch of Cowboys games over the last couple of the last, you know, 10 years. Really, I mean, just you live in New York. Cowboys are on national TV all the time, so you see him. But look. Connor's known as being a good run stopper, a linebacker. He's going to meet the blocker in the hole. He's going to shed a blocker here or there, and he's going to make a play. So I think you'll get a more consistent run stopper out of Connor, and I don't think you'll see him getting pushed around by people. He's a natural 4-3 middle linebacker. That's where the Giants would play him, and I think he'd be pretty successful at it.
Okay, and then just your opinion, do you think he'll be starting game one against Dallas at the middle spot?
In my opinion, if I had to pick who the
opinion.
Giants starting linebacker is in week number one, I would pick Dan Connor.
Okay. Appreciate it very much, sir. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Dallas. Appreciate the call, man. True Texan. Dallas in Odessa. I like it. It's like someone naming me Brooklyn from New York. Or like Albany, something like that. Makes sense. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. Len, what's going on, pal?
Hey, John. How you doing?
Long time no speak, Len. What are you on, vacation or something?
Yeah, you know, everything. It's just, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning came around, and it's just you know, golf course yesterday, doctor's appointment, nothing serious the day before. So I missed the last two shows anyway, and I have been listening.
You're making me jealous, Len.
I wanted to weigh in on the quarterback question.
Sure.
And try to make it simple, and maybe you can play along with me here, John.
Okay.
As they do this, we're gonna draft the quarterback, John. One game, we're gonna play one game. You get that quarterback's roster. I get my quarterback's roster. We're gonna play one game in January. You get to pick first. Who do you want?
So I get the entire team's roster with the quarterback?
Well, I was trying to equal it out because somebody could come along and say, well, you know, it depends on the supporting players.
Correct.
If you want to eliminate that part, John, it's okay with me too. One quarterback, one game in January, you pick first.
Yeah, see, but that's not fair because you have to get to January. And as much success, and I know where you're going with this, Len, but I'm going to try to hedge you off at the pass here a little bit.
Okay.
Because I get where you're going, Eli Manning, great January record. And look, if I'm picking a quarterback to win one playoff game, I'm probably going to take Eli before Peyton. But here's the difference. You have to get to January. And Eli Manning, quite frankly, over the course of his career, hasn't gotten the Giants to January as much as a lot of these other guys. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is in the playoffs every year. Tom Brady's in the playoffs every year. Peyton Manning's in the playoffs every year. Eli has not gotten the Giants to the playoffs every year he's been here. It's just a fact.
Okay, let me respond to that if I can.
And okay.
Here's where I'm coming from with this.
Sure.
Again, you know I'm a rabid Giants fan, and you know where my bias lies.
Yep.
Here. I think the only way you can weigh these quarterbacks, John, is January. Give me the guy that's going to win. You can have any quarterback you want as long as I can have Eli, and we'll play head-to-head. I think I'm going to win.
Not every game.
I got Eli at the top, John. Maybe the bottom line here for me is I got Eli at the top, and what I'm using is I'm using the way he comes through in the clutch, John.
You know, Tom Brady's had some pretty good Januaries too, Leb.
Yeah. Yeah, I look, these are great. This is a great sports talk radio question,
right,
John.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, and you know,
these are great quarterbacks.
Right.
I'm just trying to make a case for Eli being at the top of that list, and I'll, you know, you want Brady? Let's go head-to-head. Let's look at the record. Why would you pick Brady? Let's look at the records head-to-head. I know it's not a prize fight, John. We're not talking about it that way.
Right.
But, hey, Eli's record against this guy is darn good,
On
the biggest stage.
That's true. I hear what you're saying, but I want to take two plays, okay?
Okay.
It's 2007.
All right.
Was that a great throw by Eli Manning that David Tyree pulled down to keep that drive alive, or was that David Tyree pulling, you know, Eli Manning's pants out of the you-know-what to keep that drive alive?
Yeah. I think if you ask Eli, he'll say, I threw it down the field.
Of course.
But, you know, you got to – but it's not just the release of the ball out of his hand on that play.
It's the escape, too. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the whole 5 or 6 seconds that precedes Tyree grabbing the ball and
yep.
You know, pinning it to his helmet.
Well, Len, that's fair, but that's the one. Number two, is it Tom Brady's fault? Now, was it a perfect throw? No. But should Wes Welker have come down with that pass on that final drive in Super Bowl 46? That's not Tom Brady's fault.
Nine times out of 10, 49 times out of 50, Welker's going to catch the ball.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's hard for me to just say January and championships matter, because as important as quarterbacks are, and they're extremely important, and this is the same argument you have about LeBron James in the NBA Finals, and I make the same argument when I talk to people about that. These are team games, especially football. It's the ultimate team sport. These quarterbacks can't do it on their own. So I have to take their body of work over the course of January's, November's, October's, with their supporting cast, look at the system, look at their record, and it's a very tough balancing act because, look, let's be honest, Tom Brady, when he won his first Super Bowl with the Patriots, it was very similar to Eli Manning winning his first Super Bowl with the Giants. They won those Super Bowls less because of their great play and more because of they had a great supporting cast around them and a great defense that carried them to the first
True.
Super Bowls, and both quarterbacks were young. And there's nothing wrong with that. You win the Super Bowl any way you can win it. Those two quarterbacks at that point in their career weren't ready to throw 45 passes in a game and try to throw for 350 yards, and that's fine.
True.
But it's just an ultimate team sport, which is why I can't make it as simple as who do you want playing in January. It's a little bit more complicated. In my opinion, it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Maybe I'm from the Ernie or, you know, Corsi school. And let's talk going forward, John.
Yeah, sure.
You know, if I have to pick one of those guys to get me to the Super Bowl and win me a Super Bowl, John, I'm going with Eli.
And that's fine. Look, I think you could pick any of the top six guys on the list, on my list. Aaron Rodgers, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Peyton, Eli, and Roethlisberger. You can pick any one of those six guys, and you can feel pretty darn good about your team winning a Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. Six probable Hall of Famers, John.
Yes, I think all six of those guys will eventually be in Canton. I don't think there's any question about it.
Six probable Hall of Famers. Unbelievable. Hey, let me ask you a quick question.
Sure.
I don't know that you'll know the answer to this, but going into training camp, and, you know, they come in that first day and they do their physicals and then they practice the next day, and there's a possibility that some guys will go on the PUP list, you know, preseason rules on the PUP list, which are different than regular season. Is there a limit on how many guys you can put on that preseason PUP list, or just kind of the luck of the draw, who's hurt and who's not?
I don't think there's a limit, to be honest with you. I think you can pretty much put as many guys on that list as you want, and, you know, God forbid the Giants even approach a limit if there is one. I've never heard of it, but I'm sure it's pretty high, and if you're putting five or six guys on the PUP list, that's probably not a great sign for your season.
Well, it's probably not, but, you know, I just keep thinking there may be a possibility that, of course, the preseason PUP list, Sean, they can come off at any time.
Correct.
They don't have to stay on that list for the whole preseason.
Yes, but once they come off the preseason PUP list, they can't get put on the regular season PUP list.
Right, that's right, that's right. But they can come back to practice. No, once you put them on the PUP list in preseason, they don't have to stay a week. They
correct.
Can stay just one practice and you can come back.
But the whole key, though, is if you practice once, you can't go on the list.
That's
so
right.
That's why it's important.
That's right. And the only way to get on the in-season PUP list is you have to have been on that preseason PUP list.
Exactly. Now, Len, I think the better question, are we going to see Len in Columbia, Maryland up here for training camp at some point after July 27th?
Well, I'll tell you, it's a lot closer than Albany.
Well, it really is. That's what I'm asking. You know, jump on the Amtrak.
You can
have a good time.
I have entertained the idea of, you know, driving up there because I do have still have relatives in the area, and it's always good to see family, as you know, John. And it'll be a good opportunity to see them practice. I had been to Albany one time, but you know, it just turned out end of the summer too far, you know, kind of too far away, that sort of thing.
It's a hike.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. I used to, you know, I don't want to keep you, John, but just real quick, you know, the Pace years up in Westchester, and even the Fairfield years in the '60s up at Fairfield University. Geez, used to go all the time. Training camp was terrific. That's just a terrific show, and it's a great place to bring some kids. And it's really pretty terrific. And just, hey, John, here's the closer for the year, to see the stars up close.
Thanks for the call, Len.
Okay, John, have a good weekend.
Appreciate it. Have
Bye-bye.
A good one. Good to hear from Len. Only friend that was okay with him. We heard from him in a bit. But he's back. It's good to hear from him. It's amazing. Training camp, what's it, the 21st? It's the solstice today, right? A little summer solstice. Longest day of the year, which is always good, always fun. And, you know, this weekend we're having the super moon. Have you heard about the super moon? This will be the closest the moon is to Earth all year long. So it's going to be as big as you can see it in the night sky, tonight and tomorrow night. So go out with a loved one, perhaps, and check out the super moon. By the way, there was another thing out there that I saw on the news this morning before I came to work. I'm going totally off base here. I understand that. NASA actually put out to people, come up with ideas of how to stop an asteroid if it's heading for Earth and send them in. Are you serious? Really? NASA needs help from me. That's a problem. I mean, come on. You're NASA. I'm going to have a good idea? What, send Bruce Willis and Ben Affleck up there? That's all I got for you. I got nothing. I just thought it was funny. And somewhat, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, I suppose. Which, you know, hopefully we don't have an asteroid hurtling towards us through the space, but I thought that was funny. But it's going to be a little boring. I'm not going to used to have any NBA Finals games on. It's a heck of a series, too. I'm a little annoyed that the Spurs lost, obviously. But it was a great series, and really, it's funny. I think if those two teams, the Spurs and the Heat, played 10 games against each other, I think each would win 5. And I think the Heat just happened to win 4 out of the first 7. I think they're darn near evenly matched. I'm not even sure which team is better than the other. I just thought it was a great series, and it's a shame it had to end. But it did. Spurs just didn't make enough plays last night. I feel terrible for Tim Duncan missing that gimme around the basket. You could tell. Oh, put that jersey over his face. He went back down. He started slamming his hand on the floor. I felt terrible for him. The guy's 37. He's still the best player on his team carrying him. And Ray Allen 3, man, in game 6. That was the end of it. That was the end of that series. And think they can invite Manu Ginobili to the Heat celebration? And he really was the second most valuable player of the series for them after LeBron. And please, no more LeBron James isn't a great player, can't hit big shots, win a championship, please. If you want to hate him for the decision, that's fine. Don't doubt his ability to play basketball. Enough of this legacy nonsense. Oh, he's not Jordan. That's fine. He's been to four straight NBA finals. Four! Magic didn't do that. Bird didn't do that. Jordan didn't do that. I mean, give the guy some credit, will you? I don't think the Lakers or the Celtics went to four straight in the 80s, did they? I don't think so. I think it moved back and forth enough where neither team went four straight years. Anyway, just saying. I don't want to hear it anymore, please. He's not Michael Jordan. That's fine. He's his own individual great player. He doesn't have to be Jordan. That's fine. I mean, geez. People, relax. Anyway, thanks for joining. Everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back with you next week at 10 o'clock on Monday morning on Giants.com. Then after that, we're all starting to take some vacation, so we're going to skip some days. We'll have that up on our schedule on Giants.com. Sorry, folks. I don't have to tell you, but you'll have to go with that as for a couple days at a time here. But good weekend. Have a good one. Enjoy it. It's supposed to be nice. Then we're going to get to that hot and humid summer weather next week in the high 90s, which is low 90s, which is not going to be fun for anybody. So enjoy the weekend while it lasts. Everybody have a good one. We'll see you later.